Amen. Thank you, Nate and Emily. As most of you know, the Gore family will be leaving us soon. They're moving to Pennsylvania. I know God will use them immensely there as he has used them. It's such a blessing to this church. They were going here before we had this building. Nate was saying he started coming when the church met in the movie theater. And so been here 14, 15 years now, and just been a blessing to know them, to see them serve, and the love that they have for our Savior. But this time, the children up through fourth grade may be dismissed for junior church over here to my left. Praise the Lord, we do get them 1 month longer. So that's good. The sale of her house fell through, but they put it back on the market. And I think that day, or Nate was telling me, the next day, they sold it again. So now they're moving in June. So just keep them in your prayers as they transition to Pennsylvania. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, open in the Romans chapter 3. Our text this morning will be Romans 3, 21 to part of 25. And next week, we'll be working through Romans chapter 10. Four different speakers over family camp. We'll be praying for that as well. Some theologians have called this section of Scripture the most important or profound section of the Word of God. I understand where they're coming from. I have a hard time taking any section of Scripture and saying this is the most important, but this is a very important passage in the Bible. I just love the book of Romans. It's been years since I preached through it. I believe it was one of the first books I preached through when I became pastor here. In 06. It's just amazing how quickly time goes. I've almost been here 10 years as pastor, thinking today is my birthday, and 44 years ago I was born. But even more important than that was 24 years ago I was born again when I put my faith in Jesus Christ. And as we saw at the beginning of the service in that video, it's all because of Jesus Christ, what He accomplished on the cross, that any of us are saved. If we are left to our own merit, to our own righteousness, we would all be lost because there is no righteousness apart from Christ. Our righteousness is unrighteousness. It's just filthy rags, as Isaiah tells us. This morning's passage is on the gospel of Jesus Christ and how important it is and why we need the gospel, how amazing God's grace is. Romans 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gospel of Jesus Christ, that He was willing to lay down His life to take upon our sin, to take upon the sins of the world in His body on the cross. He took the wrath, He took the punishment that we all deserve. And on the third day, He rose again from the dead And he is seated at the right hand of the Father, victorious over sin, over death, over hell, over the grave. And all who call upon him for forgiveness of sin are victorious over sin, over death, over hell, over the grave. We thank you for the gospel, the transforming power of the gospel. Father, I do pray if there's anyone here this morning who has not received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that they would put their faith in him and be gloriously saved today. That they would understand that it's not by human achievement, but it's by divine accomplishment that one can be saved. It's all because of Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with us. He paid the price. He alone saves. I pray if there's anyone here who's never put their faith in him, that today would be their day of salvation. Father, I also pray for the believers here today. I pray that you would encourage them through the Word of God, that you would encourage them through the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they would continually preach the gospel to themselves, understanding what they were before Christ, what they are now in Christ, and what they will be in glory because of Christ. Father, we thank you for all the blessings that you have given West Pines Baptist Church. We especially thank you today for the Gore family and what they meant to us. What a blessing it is to know them, to understand that we will know them forever in eternity because of Jesus Christ. I pray you'll go before them. I pray that you'll use them. I pray, Lord, that today you'd be glorified in everything that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Job asked the most important question I think it is possible to ask. In Job 9:2, he asks, how can a man be in the right before God? Important question. Later on, Bildad echoed Job's question, saying in Job 25:4, how then can man be in the right before God? How can he who is born of woman be pure? Upon hearing John the Baptist's fearful warnings about God's judgment, Luke 3:10 says, the crowds asked him, what then shall we do? The crowd that Jesus had miraculously fed the day before asked him in John 6:28, what must we do to be doing the works of God? The rich young ruler asked Jesus in Matthew 19:16, teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? And after hearing Peter's message at Pentecost, many of the listeners said to him in Acts 2:37, brothers, what shall we do? As he lay blinded on the road to Damascus, Saul cried out to Jesus, in Acts 22:10, what shall I do, Lord? And then finally, the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas in Acts 16:30, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Throughout history, men have asked those same questions as Job, Bildad, the crowds, Paul, the rich young ruler, and others have asked. What can sinful man do before a righteous, perfect, holy God? Where can we stand in His presence? Or how can we ever be in His presence? Nearly every religion is a response to those fears and questions and seeks to offer a way of reaching and satisfying some form of deity. Every religion except Christianity is man-made and works-centered. It's not about divine accomplishment. It's about human achievement. But the problem with going that direction is that no one can ever meet the standards that God sets forth because all have sinned. And it is vital that every single one of us understands that truth. We do not deserve salvation. We cannot earn salvation. It's by Christ we are saved. We are saved by His grace alone, through faith alone, and in Christ alone. And there is no other way. The only righteousness man possesses within himself is unrighteousness. Isaiah 64:6 is very clear. Man's righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. Romans 3:21. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. This word "but" indicates a strong contrast, but it's a wonderful and marvelous contrast. But now the righteousness of God, because prior to this, basically the majority leading up to this point, Paul paints a horrific picture of mankind without God, and it's not pretty. And without God, mankind has no hope. They have no way to get to heaven. But the righteousness of God has been manifested. We see the word righteousness is a key word in this passage. It's a key word in Romans. It's a key word in Scripture. And it's not the righteousness of man. It's the righteousness of Christ. And that's the only way any of us can have a right standing before God. Righteousness is apart from the law. And that's exactly what Paul is stating here. The righteousness that God imparts to believers is apart from the law. the point of the law of Moses, or the law imparted upon men's hearts, is to get them to understand that mankind cannot achieve salvation. Mankind cannot achieve righteousness. Every single one of us fail the test of being sinless, perfect in ourselves. And this is the essence of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God, but the righteousness of God has been manifested to us apart from the law. And the law and the prophets bear witness to it, meaning the entirety of Scripture. The righteousness of Christ is not just a New Testament doctrine. The righteousness of God permeates all of Scripture. The law and the prophets, meaning the entirety of the Old Testament, points and declares the righteousness of God. God holds before men the standards of His righteousness in order to demonstrate the impossibility of keeping them by human effort. I'll read you a few scriptures. Because of that inability, Romans 4:15 says the law brings wrath. Galatians 3:10 and 11, for all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law. The righteous shall live by faith. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Countless other New Testament and Old Testament passages repeat this basic gospel truth that rightness with God can never, be accomplished by human achievement. And it's that message, the true gospel of Jesus Christ, that offends human nature. Because it's human nature that says, I'm not that bad. I try to do the right thing. I know I'm not perfect, but I'm pretty good. I help people out when I can. I love my family. What does God tell us? Let's continue. Verse 22. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Notice the word all there. The word all in the Greek, now listen to this, this is profound. It means all. That's what it means. And I don't care what language you translate it in. Spanish, German, French, Klingon. It means all. I knew Joel would like that. All have sinned. All of mankind. That cute little baby that we love and adore comes out of his or her mother's womb, and we love that baby, and we talk baby talk to that baby. We feed that baby. We look at that baby, how precious he or she is. And it's true, because God formed, knitted that child in his or her mother's womb. It doesn't take long for us to be reminded that precious little baby is a lost sinner. And that sin nature, one of the first words, one of them, a child learns is no. And we see that lost soul. And as parents, we share the gospel. As a church family, we share the gospel. And we rejoice when we see children come to faith in Jesus Christ, understanding that apart from Him, they have no hope. But in Christ, they have eternal life. All have sinned. All of mankind. No one is excluded from the all. This is why when people say, well, that's fine that Jesus works for you, that church works for you, but I'm going to do my own thing. And that's your choice. God's not going to force you. But you need to understand these fundamental truths. All have sinned, so we're all in the same boat. Jew, Gentile, black, white, Hispanic, German, whatever it is, or whatever you are. We all come from Adam. We're all related. There's one human race. And we all have sinned. No one's excluded. The word all means all. All you have sinned. All y'all, if you're from Kentucky. There's another all we see here in this passage, verse 22. So verse 23, all have sinned. But the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For all who believe. Do you see how we're saved? It's not by performing good works. It's not living this wonderful life, this upstanding life, and standing before God. You see how good I did down here, Lord? Let me into heaven. Without Christ, you have no righteousness. Without Christ, you have no hope. But when you put your faith in Him, the righteousness of God, what we call imputation, is imparted upon your account. I want to read you this verse, one of my favorite verses in Scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, He made Him to be sin who knew no sin. So who's He talking about there? Who's Paul talking about? He made Him, Jesus Christ, to be sin. The sinless Savior, the Holy God, who never sinned and who couldn't sin because He's deity. He who knew no sin became sin. So that in Him, in Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. What a wonderful truth. God Himself, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, took our sin so that we could have His righteousness. It doesn't get better than that. The greatest gift ever given. He took our sin. He took the wrath that we deserve. And because of that, when we believe in Him, we receive His righteousness. This is why I can boldly, confidently say that when I die, I'm going to heaven. And I'm not being arrogant. I simply know who my God is. I know what my Savior has done. And I know what He promises for all who believe in Him. Eternal life and glory without a sin nature glorified. That's the end game for every believer in Christ. All who believe. Verse 24. Are justified by His grace. Not human effort. Not human achievement. By His grace as a gift. As a gift. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. We're saved by grace through faith. Christ is the one who redeemed us. Preaching in the synagogue, Paul declared in Acts 13:39, "And by Him everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses." Jesus says in John 6:37, "Whoever comes to Me, I will never cast out." And then Galatians 2:21, "If righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose." Everything was dependent. Everything hung upon the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Without Him, we would be lost. Without Christ, I would have no confidence in going to heaven. Without Christ, we all would be condemned. But in Christ, we're forgiven. In Christ, we're adopted into the family of God. In Christ, we are co-heirs with Him. In Christ, we have a guaranteed reservation in heaven, a guaranteed inheritance in glory. In Christ, we have everything we need. I want to close with 1 Peter 1:18-19. That's my first closing, actually. "Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot." My second and final closing, I want to read to you this beautiful hymn by Horatius Bonar. This is what he wrote. "Not what my hands have done can save my guilty soul. Not what my toiling flesh has borne can make my spirit whole. Not what I feel or do can give me peace with God. Not all my prayers in sight, sighs, and tears can bear my awful load. Thy grace alone, O God, to me can pardon speak. Thy power alone, O Son of God, can this sore bondage break. No other work save thine. No other blood will do. No strength save that which is divine can bear me safely through. In Christ alone are we saved. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. If you are here this morning and you never asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin, you've never trusted in Him, we are all sinners. We're all in the same situation, all in the same boat, and we're all saved the same way. There will be no boasting in heaven. There's only one name as we sing this morning that we'll declare, it's Jesus Christ. He alone can save. He is the one that died for you. He is the one that took your sin in His body on the tree so that you could become the righteousness of God. If you've never asked Christ to save you, today can be your day of salvation. If you understand you're a sinner, and you understand that you can't earn heaven, you don't deserve it, but then you look to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, and you believe that He died for your sins and that He rose again from the dead. Right now, right where you sit with your head bowed, you can cry out to Him from a repentant heart and put your faith Jesus Christ. Trusting in Him and Him alone. Would you pray, Father, I believe Jesus died for me, that He rose again on the third day. I don't deserve it. Thankful that Jesus died for me. And I ask Him to forgive me my sin. I'm trusting in Him today. And Him alone to save me. Cry out to Him today from a repentant heart. Trust in Christ and Christ alone. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Today we thank You for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank You for the transforming power of the gospel. Father, I thank You for West Pines Baptist Church and the history of this church, standing upon the Word of God for many years now. Many have been saved, gone into ministry, served faithfully. We thank You for this church. Father, we thank You, most of all, for Your Son. Without Him, there would be no church. Without Him, there wouldn't be any hope. Without Christ, we would all be lost. We thank You for the sacrifice. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Stand. I'm going to sing. Verse of invitation, if you want to come forward, if there's anything that you want to just give over to the Lord, maybe you're struggling with something today, whatever it is, maybe there's someone that was laid upon your heart that you need to share the gospel with, you would like God's guidance, just come.
Come to me, all you who are weary, burdened. Take my yoke.
Man, what a wonderful truth. You may be seated. We have some information. If you're going to family camp, it starts this Friday. It's on the back table. We're also needing help. If you would like to help out cleaning up after meals, there's a sign-up sheet for that as well. Some information on camp. Danny Duggar told me the park entrance fee has gone up a little bit. I think instead of $5, it's $7. We are asking a $20 donation per person for family camp, if you can swing that. And just mark your checks, family camp, or somehow let us know that that money is designated towards family camp, and you can put it in the offering plate if you're prepared to do that this morning. But that starts this Friday, and so we'll be praying for family camp. Sunday, we'll have service there at the amphitheater, and we'll stream the service to our building here for those who do not come down. There will not be Sunday school next week or any of our evening services next Sunday. Pastor John.
I want you all to stay afterwards for the meal. So if you can, we'll be transforming this place very quickly into a great time together, fellowship and eating. And I know there's some good food there in the back. You can probably smell it a little bit. So if you're noticed in your bulletin, there's a little tear-off section. You can bend it back and forth, and it'll tear off. There we go. And this is an opportunity. If you want to, you can put this in the offering plate when it comes by. If you're visiting, we'd love for you to put your name on there, maybe how you heard about the church. If you have a prayer request, if there's something God's laying on your heart, maybe you want some more information about the church, maybe there's some ministry that God's putting on your heart, or just want to put some note of encouragement on there, whatever it is, just go ahead and there's two sides to it. You can jot a couple quick note on there and just drop it in the offering plate when it comes around. As a church, we meet in different homes throughout the week. We have one that meets on Sunday, we have one on Wednesday, and we have one on Friday. And there's some details in the bulletin about that. But we'd love to have you come out to the family there, or the gatherings as families. So how many have enjoyed doing that? Oh, yeah. As you can see, many church are involved in that. But if you haven't been, why don't you pick one of them and come out and join us. We also take turns having the opportunity to go out to Wellbrook, which is a rehab and nursing home right across from IU West. And we go out there once a month, and we have a church service with the folks. And so the Gott family, I think, just did it this past month, and the Keltners group is going this coming May 15th, yeah. VBS is coming right around the corner. We'll be here before we know it. That'll be exciting. We'll also be in prayer for the teens. We're going on a missions trip down into Tennessee. It's kind of in the mountain areas. And so you'll be praying for them about that. There's a game night coming up. You can see that May the 7th. And the family camp. And, of course, we want to celebrate with the Gores their time here, and we're excited for them and their next venture there with the boys. But lots of memories here. So men, would you come forward? Let's worship the Lord now at this time to give back to him. And as the offering plate goes by, if you want to put one of those response cards in it, you can. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your message today, that you provided a way for all to be saved that would come to you. Lord, I thank you that you sent your son Jesus Christ to die on the cross. And Lord, it's not a maybe or it's a possibility. We shall be saved. Mm-hmm. Lord,